Hello, I'm Richard Ady. This is Best Practice, the RN show about getting stuff done at work. We are gradually getting more of a handle on stress, and it seems increasingly clear that the early position on it, that it's an unmitigated bad thing, is being challenged by a more nuanced one. Stress, it turns out, can be good for you. Under certain conditions, it can. In fact, it can even make you live longer. The key is to have autonomy and control in the stressful situation, like at work. Eric Gonzalez-Mule is in the Kelly School of Business at Indiana University.
Well, so the typical lens through which that's been studied is in trying to increase motivation. That was kind of the beginning of the humanist movement that we call from the 1950s. And so where management started realizing that people aren't robots, so we can't treat people like automatons and just expect them to, you know, follow a specific set of rules over and over and over again every day and be motivated to do good work. That's kind of where the beginning of autonomy and control research, that's kind of where it all started. And then in the past 30 or 40 years or so, it's kind of migrated more into the study of stress. So, and that's kind of what our study is about. So seeing how it is that control can kind of make stressful jobs harmful or helpful.
So what are we talking about specifically when we say control? For the person who's working, what are they able to control?
Right. So it's pretty broad. And really, it relates to control over how you do your job. So maybe, for example, imagine a boss giving you a goal. So let's say you're a salesperson, right? And your boss tells you, sell $10,000 this month. But then it's up to you to figure out how it is that you're going to actually go about doing that. So are you going to call people on the phone? Are you going to go visit them where they work? Are you going to maybe talk to other salespeople and try to get leads that way? So that's what control is about. It's about how it is that you do your job. It's also about the extent to which you can set your own goals. So some jobs maybe will give you very broad objectives and things you have to do, but then it's up to you to decide how it is that you're going to kind of set up the goals on the way there, right? So like, for example, as a professor, you might have a very general goal of wanting to publish research, but then it's up to you to set your own kind of miniature goals, right? Like today, I'm going to write 2 pages, you know, or something like that. And so control kind of encompasses all of these things that basically have to do with how much discretion you have in your job to make decisions about how you're going to do your work.
Right. So everything from planning to workflow and process.
Right. All that would kind of be subsumed under this broad umbrella of control and autonomy as well.
All right. So how profound is the effect of having control?
Yeah. So what we found was that for those in really stressful jobs with high control, there was a 34% decrease in the chance of death compared to those in high control jobs that are low in stress. So essentially what we're finding here is that when you have a stressful job and you have high control, it reduces the chance of dying compared to if you had high control in a low stress job.
Hang on. I need to back up. So you're saying it's healthier to have a stressful job with high control than it is to have a non-stressful job with high control.
Right. And the reason why we find that is, or at least the reason we think it's happening, is because those in low demanding jobs, so imagine a job where you don't have much to do, right? Where you have all the discretion in the world, but not much to do. So you're just kind of sitting still, right? So think of someone that maybe just doesn't have a lot of very proximal, challenging deadlines at all, and just kind of has a very passive job that isn't very involved. And so what we find is that that's actually harmful, right? So being passive and just kind of going through work without really doing much is not helpful either. And then on the flip side of that, we found that for those that have low amounts of control, then high job demands are increased or are associated with a 15% increase in the likelihood of death. So if you're in a low control job, having a lot of stress and then not essentially having the autonomy to be able to deal with it is really harmful as well.
What sort of occupations and job situations are we talking about there, Eric?
Yeah, so a quick caveat before I answer that. So in this particular study, we didn't look at kind of discrete occupations. We just asked people. So people filled out a survey and they just responded on as to how stressful their job was. Again, like I mentioned, the kind of the workload, concentration demands. And then we just asked them how much autonomy and discretion they had over different aspects of their job. So we used a survey here, but then we went and took a look at what kinds of jobs were reporting this. And so what we find is that those that are more are high demand, high control, right? So those are the good ones, the ones that are really stressful, where you also have a lot of autonomy over how to deal with it. Those are professional jobs. So things like, you know, doctors, lawyers, judges, though, professors even. And so I'm kind of lucky to be in that good quadrant there, that again, have a lot of work to do, but have a lot of control over how it is that they do it. Whereas those that have really demanding jobs with low control, so that's kind of the worst quadrant, those folks are people like entry-level service occupations. So think of like a restaurant server, think of a hairdresser, right? Not a self-employed one. So that's a difference here too, that we weren't really looking at entrepreneurs. So we were looking at people that were kind of in typical jobs, if you will. So those entry-level service occupations and manufacturing occupations as well are kind of in that danger zone of being highly stressful and also having very little control over how to do it.
And some of those jobs, it's clear there isn't actually a lot of room for control. They've become kind of systemized. There's a way of doing things. Sometimes there's important safety constraints that dictate that.
Right. There are. So I would say that's true. Now, there are some things that one can do to introduce some control. So again, I'm not saying you're ever going to make a manufacturing job have as much autonomy as like a surgeon, you know, that maybe owns their own practice or something, right? Or something, you know, kind of thinking of the extreme end. You're never going to get there. But you can imagine that you can make a manufacturing job have a little bit more control, maybe by even having people be able to choose their work hours. So introducing things like flex time that a lot of companies are getting into, again, to the extent that it's economically feasible to do that, to have workers choose when it is that they want to do their work. In some instances, using teamwork could also help increase perceptions of control. So where maybe you could give a team a task to do, and they can kind of decide maybe how to split up how to do that task within the team. So that's one way to introduce control into a job that otherwise wouldn't have much. But you're absolutely right that some of these jobs, that's just part of the job. They're just low in control, and there's not much you can do to ameliorate it.
There is this, well, it's been around a couple of decades now, but it's still not widely used, this approach called job crafting, where you get to have more input in how you design your job, how you mold it to you.
Yeah, so the research on that, like you mentioned, it's been around for a while, but we haven't done a ton of empirical research on it. So most of it has been more theoretical in nature. So we don't really know, much about how job crafting works. But the idea behind it is that people can physically alter their own work environment, right? So you can think of this even as someone in that quadrant that I was just telling you about with low job demands, right? Where they have a lot of control, a lot of autonomy, and not much to do. That person could ask their boss for more challenging work assignments, right? So that's kind of a physical job crafting where you actually change the nature of your work. And so that's one thing that folks can do. In the paper, we say that's one thing that maybe you might have some ability to change the job that way. And then in the absence of being able to physically change the job, you can also psychologically craft. And this is more of a reframing of meaning, if you will. So instead of actually changing the job, it's more like you in your mind are changing what your job means to the world. So you can imagine like a cashier at a grocery store. This cashier, you know, their job every day is just to scan groceries and take payment from people. You could think of that as being a really kind of mundane, not very rewarding job. But if you reframe that from, you know, I'm just scanning groceries all day to I'm helping people feed themselves, or I'm helping provide food to the world. Just that psychological reframing can also increase perceptions of control.
Right. What I haven't asked you is, for the people whose jobs are literally making them die younger, what do we think the mechanism is for that? Why are they dying younger?
So in the paper, we don't specifically measure these things. So we don't know for sure. But what we think is happening is that these people that are in really stressful jobs that don't have a lot of control over or do their work are more likely to have sedentary lifestyles. They're more likely to be overweight, more likely to smoke, more likely to engage in unhealthy behaviors. So even things like alcohol abuse and drug use. And we think that these are essentially what people are doing to cope with this situation, right? So you can think of, again, the stressful job is almost like a drain on your resources, kind of your personal and physical and mental energies. And control helps you kind of deal with that. And when the absence of control, then you essentially are finding other ways to deal with it. And so we think that what's happening is that these people are more likely to be overweight and do this unhealthy stuff.
You have this job which you don't get a lot of choice,
And right. so you go home and you open a bag of Doritos.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Now, with the jobs that are in the good quadrant, I like that. And it feels a bit like mine because I'm always working hard.
Oh, that's good to hear.
But I have a lot of autonomy in how I do it. Mm-hmm. It's almost like you're saying that stress is a good thing in that situation.
Yes. Think of it akin to learning a new skill, right? So something that you really want to do. So even if you're learning a new sport or something, that you're really motivated to do it, and it might be really challenging, it might be really difficult and time-consuming and involve a lot of work, but at the end, you're likely to be pretty satisfied and energized, you know, as you're accomplishing this really difficult task. And so we think that that's what's going on here, that these people in really demanding jobs that have the control to deal with those demands are able to accomplish these goals and feel like they're really doing well at their work. And that's something that kind of has, it's almost like a positive feedback that they're feeling that the stress is actually really motivating and energizing.
I think that's actually true. And it actually also, what you were saying, when you have a high control job but no demands, if I think back to the 2 or 3 days this year when I really haven't got enough done because I just had a moment where I felt that I could have a day like that, it's mm-hmm. not rewarding. In fact, you come home and you're tireder than if you've had a normal day.
Yeah, I've had those experiences too. I know exactly what you mean. Absolutely.
Eric, it's really fascinating, your research. Thank you very much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me on.
Eric Gonzalez-Mule is an assistant professor of organizational behavior and human resources management at Indiana University's Business School.